Item number three, a little late in the agenda, but we will make that up with not having item number four. So, director's report. Director, turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, there's a written report in your binders. It's admittedly a little on the skimpy side this time, so we'll work to make that a little more thorough for you next time. But we've got quite a bit to cover here verbally. So, a big issue we have going is the legislative session starting next week. So, it always gets pretty entertaining at that point in time and busy. So, key changes for you all to be aware of for us, primarily changes in committees that we run most of our stuff through. On the House side, the Agricultural Natural Resources Committee had been renamed to the Rural Economic Development and Agricultural Natural Resources Committee. I think it just broadens their scope a little bit, so not a huge change there. That's Representative Blake's committee. It will be vised by Shoemake, who I've not met yet, but we have a meeting scheduled with next week, I believe. And ranking minority will be Representative Chandler, so that's a change as well. But we've got a good relationship there. I think that's a good thing for us. On the Senate side, things are still a little bit dynamic. They created a new committee, Environment and Tourism, and dismantled it all in about the same week that they created it. And so now that committee was originally going to hear ORCA bills, and those bills now, anything to deal with ORCA generally, at least if that's the primary focus, will go to the Energy and Environment Committee, chaired by Senator Carlisle. So I spent a lot of time with Senator Carlisle on my old job, but we haven't spent a lot of time in front of him at this agency, so that'll be new for us. On the Senate side, the committee that we generally go to more often, the Agricultural Natural Resources, Parks, and Water, that remains Senator Vandeweghe's committee. The change there is it's going from 5 members to 7. Departure, I'm not sure who's not there, but the new senators are Rolfes, Solomon, and Short. So folks who are very engaged with all of our issues, I think that's a very good thing for us as well. Pearson left. Thank you, Joe. Workshops, so these are workshops in front of the committee. We have several scheduled already. We will be doing a workshop on the forest and fish law in combination with industry and the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Ecology. That's on next Tuesday. Wednesday, we have 2 workshops, one on sanitary shellfish in House Agner, Ag Natural Resources Committee, and an ORCA workshop on the this Environment and Energy Committee I just talked about a little bit. That's also Wednesday, both at 8 o'clock. Thursday, we go back to the Senate Agricultural Natural Resources and Parks for the overall work session will include forest health, and a bigger portion for us is on hatchery production and the Minter Creek failure. So that will be we'll be front and center in front of that committee explaining what went on and following up to all the activity and excitement that we get around wolves, that we will have a wolf work session in the Senate Ag Natural Resource and Parks Committee the following week, Tuesday the 22nd. I think another thing we are trying to do, or are doing, Raquel is setting up a Fish and Wildlife Commission Legislative Day. We're shooting for the day, the Thursday before the February meeting. We'll be putting together agendas for that and various lawmakers to go see. So if you're interested in that, you can let me know and or Raquel, and we'll make sure that you're part of that day. So again, Thursday, I didn't write down the date, but the day before our regular February commission meeting. So that's my update on the legislative side. Was asked to also have a brief discussion here on the Hatchery Scientific Review Group review that you all passed the motion on, giving us direction to do that review. And we will be back in front of you in February, but with an actual formal presentation, but I thought I'd give you an update here. As you know, that assignment was basically 2 primary parts, policy review the policy itself, and then update any science. So where we are with that project is we have contracted with the Washington Academy of Sciences for the scientific review side. So to be clear, our capable staff will be doing the heavy lifting and the work of that review, but we'll be vetting it through the Washington Academy of Sciences that provides that extra level of scientific rigor and credibility to our review. That's so we have a contract with them now in place to do that review. We will be doing the leading the review of the policy itself. So we'll look at the 11 independent guidelines in that policy and do a report card type analysis that you all saw in the Fish Committee yesterday. I heard you loud and clear. We'll make it crisp or crispy and clear and simple to understand what we're actually asking for or saying. We are also building a separate a little more elaborate involvement. So the public, this is, you know, this is another one of those topics that everybody has a lot of interest in. You've all been contacted, I'm sure, a lot on this already. So we're developing an opportunity for the public to have a little more thorough involvement with that. We are also working separately with the co-managers to bring them along on our review. Again, we'll have an update for you in February. We'll be back again in September with our draft of the final project, and then in front of you in November for actual proposals, decision-making, et cetera, on the policy review. And your first more thorough review than this little thumbnail will be in February. On wolves, I thought it'd be appropriate to just bring you up to some activities that are going on in wolves, especially following the discussion earlier today. We are beginning our annual surveys. I think we have a fixed-wing aircraft up this week to start looking and counting wolves. That work goes on now, along with subsequent capturing and collaring as soon as we can get the helicopter up. That's one of our shutdown things. Our pilot had an eye infection. He needs to be recertified by FAA. They're not working right now. So those type of things fit into our scheduling. On the things that really draw a lot of attention, the lethal removals, updates on the three we had out previously, smack out pack. We, as you know, removed an animal from that some time ago, went into an evaluation period. It has been quiet ever since. So that one is exactly that. It's in an evaluation period. There's no active work going on removal. The Togo pack, we had issued a permit to the landowner. That permit has expired, and from all indications, the wolves are nowhere near his property. As you'll recall, that permit allowed him only to take wolves if they were within his fence line with cattle present. That did not occur, and we believe the wolves are running quite a ways away from his property, so that one as well is no further activity. Unfortunately, on the old profanity territory pack, there were three additional depredations last weekend, two confirmed, one probable. I'm touching base with staff today at noon and getting a more thorough briefing on what would happen next week, so no decisions have been made. As you'll recall, that pack had a standing lethal removal order for up to two animals that we had tried and not been able to actually implement that order. So that order is still effective, but currently we all get a briefing and decide whether we're still on the right path or not. We don't have any activity actually going on to remove wolves at this time. Asked to provide an update on the Winooche Dam mitigation that has been going on far too long. This is one of the topics that we hear from our stakeholders frequently on. We do have a technical proposal with the Quinault Indian Nation technical staff. They've reviewed it and are supposed to be going through that with their council here soon. Chairwoman Fawn Sharp has reached out to us to have a meeting in February on a number of issues. This is one of the issues on that docket. And so that we originally had a date, as turned out not to be available for the tribal members, so we are rescheduling that. So I don't know if I'll have a report out from that meeting at our commission meeting, depending on how it's scheduled. My hope is that we've got a pretty solid proposal. It's with the tribe. I think their technical staff are generally aligned. We'll see how their council comes out. We're not at the finish line yet, but we're not kicking the can down the road. We are further along than we've ever been, or at least if we're kicking it, we've kicked it less this time. So hopefully next February we'll be there. I'll add on status on the Skokomish, given Mr. Urbeck's testimony. I was able to meet with the Skokomish tribe, their chairman, Guy Miller, It was meant to be a meet and greet meeting and a list of topics that we would bring up. We did bring this topic up. We made it clear that we would like to engage on this and that we need to get a decision from the tribe, and we'd like to have it wrapped up prior to the start of the North of Falcon, so that we could assess our options at that time. So that meeting is scheduled. I'd hope to be able to tell you, or is being scheduled, I'd hope to tell you today the date of that meeting. This month is what we're shooting for. But that has not occurred yet. I don't believe we've actually got the schedule in. We're putting pressure on them to get it scheduled, and I don't know how many meetings it'll take. But the key for us is we are either going to secure the season that Mr. Urbeck asked for, or we will pursue other options. But we want to make sure and give the tribe in good faith an opportunity to sit down and actually work something out with us before we decide on where else to go. Those are the highlights that come to my mind, and I've written down for you all. I'm available for questions if you have any. Or my competent staff in the audience if you have any hard questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had three areas. The primary one was the hatchery reform review, but you just recently brought up the Skokomish matter, which I was going to save until the North of Falcon business came up. But since you brought it up and alluded to it, including the intent to meet with the tribe real soon, I think that's a good thing. And we've heard testimony in the past, and I think at the front table have said that it's just not acceptable that we have no non-Indian fishing, no non-tribal fishing in the Skokomish for the past 3 years, and we really need to get that changed. So, but maybe I will just hold off on that. We hadn't seen Mr. Urbeck's testimony in writing. But when we get to the North of Falcon agenda item, I just wanted to ask the rest of the commission if there was any hesitation about asking the director to move forward as he's described to meet with the tribes, and if there is not a meeting that can be secured, or if the meeting does not result in an agreement, that we do as was recommended in public testimony and pursue every reasonable effort you can to try to get that fishery open. The other quick one was you mentioned the Wainuchi mitigation, and I wonder, as we before we hear about the finality of that, if you could provide the commissioners with whatever the written mitigation agreement is that we're working on.
Yes, I can do that. Absolutely.
On the matter of the hatchery reform project, we do have something in writing in our materials here that I think you've just kind of superseded with your remarks about concluding this in November. So this has an older schedule, and maybe I would just make one or two points on that. I think it's important as this analysis of what it takes to do a thorough review of that policy goes forward, that the staff think about providing an analysis of options for any changes that might come up, and that the commission see those options over the course of the policy, and the public see those as well. On page 3 of 3 of the written process here, it indicates that there might just be a one meeting process where there's a presentation to the Fish and Wildlife Commission in August. Now you said maybe November, and maybe you've already made the point I'm going to make, but I think it's important that the commission see the range of options that are going to be analyzed, if there's going to be any changes in the policy language, and that the commission be able to weigh in on those options and the analysis, and that go out to the public in advance of any final decision. So kind of a two commission meeting process. One where we hear all the analysis that's out there and any consideration of proposed changes, and have a discussion at the front table if there's going to be any proposed changes, and if there is, that the public be fully aware of that, and final decision making be at a subsequent meeting where people have had plenty of time to take a look at whatever changes might be on the table.
I'm going to go ahead and let Ron. I think that's depending on the size and volume of changes, that's basically what we have in mind. Obviously, if there's a lot of changes or bigger, I want to reserve the spot for if they're tweaky type changes, we don't prolong the schedule. If they're substantive that we really should allow the public to weigh in, then we would. That's where I believe we're at.
Director, I think you said that very well. I just wanted to come up and make mention in a more detailed Gantt chart that we have for the process. We show that we would be in front of the Fish Committee monthly to keep commissioners there informed, and so that the report outs from committees could be at the full table and be able to answer any questions for you each month on our progress. And one of the pieces why we have pushed that finalization out is in, to give that scientific review process the full benefit of review and comment. That would afford us some time to do policy review that didn't include the science while that was being done, if the commission wanted us to add something like that in and kind of separate the issues of the policy out to show edits or options for edits for some of the additional adds that were requested.
And one last follow-up. I think it's very important that this scientific review go forward towards having the public have some confidence of independence on this. I mean, we've all heard that this claim is out there that maybe it might not be. You know, I've got full faith in the talented staff that this department has to accomplish that. But complete independence in the view of other folks is a very difficult thing to achieve. And even when you go to the Washington Academy of Sciences and find whoever is on that final vetting group to take a look at each one of those individuals and be able to say they are thoroughly and completely independent of any aspect of the whole thing, it's a difficult thing to get that complete independence. So I would ask you, if you've got a contract there, to take a hard look at those folks that are going to be reviewing the staff work to make sure that we can be as independent as possible, and also ask the staff to be as completely independent as they can and not be bound by any perception of what the old policy meant them to do or any perception of what they think this commission's vote last June meant them to try to achieve, to disregard all that and to be as completely and neutrally scientific in their approach as possible, which I believe they would do if I hadn't even said that.
Somebody who spends a lot of time with research assurances working at WSU, if you're looking for experts, you're probably not going to find independence. And the way we deal with that is transparency and helping to understand the potential for bias. So I would suggest that that's the approach that we're going to take. We're going to be very transparent, but I doubt we're going to find an expert who's entirely independent.
One thing that's kind of stuck in my craw is this Minter Creek hatchery failure. Having grown up where I grew up, doing what I've done, I mean, on the ranch, about the time you learn to pee over your tennis shoes, they put you on a piece of equipment. And I've spent my entire life in the logging industry and construction industry. Things break, yes. Things wear out, yes. But for the most part, we always kind of considered, unless the asteroid fell out of the sky and hit your piece of equipment, if it got tore up, it was your fault. To default to say that the generator was old does not work in my world very well. If it was a gas engine, yeah, they are susceptible to problems. Points condensers not wanting to, they will fail. Diesel engines, not so much. The 40-year-old technology is a heck of a lot easier to keep running as long as maintenance was done. And I thoroughly understand that when you're working around hatcheries, that you're dealing with fish biologists, not diesel mechanics. But that being said, it's just one that really sticks in my craw. I'm sorry, guys, but 6.5 million fish going down, why there wasn't some redundancies and that, I just would really like at the end of the day if we get an answer on the deal. And if there's some screw-ups, somebody's either held to account or it doesn't happen again. So I'll just leave it at that.
So first, I've not heard. I hope we've not said that anybody said it's just an old generator. We're not looking for an easy way out. We are, in fact, doing a thorough evaluation. We've asked for a third party to do that. I think we have expertise in-house to do that, but we're in the process of building trust with the public, and I don't think you can do it at the same time and do your own evaluation, so we're having a third party evaluate that. They will check on, we do have a set of protocols for running the hatchery. There is a maintenance schedule. Those generators are supposed to be serviced annually and tested frequently. We'll evaluate whether that's been done or done properly. We will do a thorough accounting, and we will be accountable for whatever we find the cause was. We're not hiding behind anything on this one, but I also want to leave the room for that independent evaluation and not influence it. So we will be back in front of you with a thorough report on exactly what happened and actions taken to follow up. We've also already had discussions about how do we, making sure whatever we learn from this is not learned at this single facility, and that we distribute that knowledge widely across the state. It's an unfortunate accident, or I shouldn't say, it's an unfortunate incident, and we will follow up accordingly, and we will report to you.
Action that we do go forward and build some redundancies into these so that we don't end up having something like this again.
Yes, sir.
I think we might have spoke about it when that event happened that day, but I would suggest, in addition to what you have done, which talking to Kelly Cunningham yesterday sounded well-founded and on course for a permanent solution, but I would have someone evaluate Director the cost and logistics of having standby portable generators on wheels that you can roll in there and plug and play during the months where we're susceptible to having down trees and windstorms at the hatcheries. And I know there's a lot of hatcheries, so it may not be doable everywhere, but the ones that, they all count, but the ones that really count, we just have to do everything in our power to make sure we don't lose any more fish for everyone, including the whales.
Yes, Commissioner Carpenter, we can and will evaluate that. I will note, and is cautiously, because I don't want to get into the excuse range, this is a 350 kVA generator that stands in its own building. These are big-time deals, in which we still could have a mobile version. You also have about 15 minutes before those fries start dying. So the feasibility of doing that, we can certainly look into it.
Maybe we'll clear up. I was talking about a rental, during those months of grave concern, Director. Thank you.